Psalm 127 is a wisdom psalm. The wisdom in this psalm is this, if you boil it down again to a sentence. Without the Lord's blessing, all human toil is ultimately worthless.
Everyone, what a beautiful day today to be tuning in here on Live in the Light, and a great day to start a new series. I am so excited about this one. We are calling it Unless the Lord Builds the House. I'm sure many of you are familiar with the verse that's the inspiration for our series, Psalm 127, verse 1, which says, "Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain." We want God to be the foundation of our homes and our families, and in this series, we will be digging into the Lord's design for blessing in every home. I want God's blessing in my home, don't you?
Yes, absolutely. Shannon, this series is, I think, vitally important right now because rarely, and maybe never, at least in our nation, has there been a time of so much confusion, deception, and just evil that is attacking the home. God's design is always the best. And second place isn't even, is there a second place when it comes to God? You know, so we need to know His truth for the family, and we need to know His light in the midst of the darkness. And that's what this series is designed to do. We're excited again to tackle issues of the family and marriage and singleness and parenting and financial debt and wisdom and so on. So we hope that you will be tuning in on a regular basis to discover God's wisdom for your life, for your home, and for your family. Lord, lead us in this time, again, so needed, excited for the light to shine in the midst of these crazy times that we live.
Yeah, seriously. And we, again, have something for every home in this series. So don't tune us out if you're not in the stage of life you thought you might be, because God wants to bless you right where you are. Okay, my friends, let's get started. And you can open your Bible with me right now to Psalm 127.
You can find a Bible and turn to Psalm 127. So here we are in a new series. This is entitled, Unless the Lord Builds the House. Our tagline is this, God's design for blessing in every home. This is scheduled to be a 10-week series on several aspects of the God-designed, God-blessed home. Why are we in this series right now? Because our world is desperately lost and desperately confused. And the reason our world is so lost and confused is because we have rejected God's wisdom. And listen, this is so important. Whenever anyone rejects God's wisdom, they also forfeit God's blessing. Some of you need to hear that right off the start. It is that simple and is that important. When you reject God's wisdom, you forfeit God's blessing. You and I desperately need the wisdom of God, because when we have the wisdom of God, then we have the blessing of God. This series is designed then to state clearly God's design for blessing in each and every single home. That is so important, so needed today, again, where we find ourselves. And right from the start, I want to say this too, as we jump into a series on the home or the family, this series is designed for every heart in this room. Every single heart in this room, this series is designed for you and where you are, no matter where you particularly find yourself, again, right now in life. We're going to unpack God's word on the home as it relates to issues such as family, obviously marriage, singleness, parenting, financial debt, wisdom as it relates to the book of Proverbs in the home. We're going to unpack again a message on what is the great enemy of the home, really the great enemy of our heart. We're going to look at dysfunction in the family. And we're going to, Lord willing, wrap up the series with how does the church function as family ultimately? It's been several years since we've done a series like this. Several years, and I think actually over 10 years, and we are very, very much in due. And what we know to be true is this, as the home or the family goes, and we'll see in a second too, when I say home, and it's more than just the families we think about, the home is really my heart. And us making up again our hearts and homes together, as the home or family goes, so goes the nation. Like, we know that to be true. This is what the Bible teaches us. As goes the home, as goes the nation. So therefore, it's very, very important, again, what we're about to do. Now remember, again, whether you find yourself exactly where each message is or not, I want you to widen your understanding and your appreciation for each week as we go through it. Whether or not you find yourself exactly again in the topic of that particular weekend, one thing's for sure, you are in relationship with someone that does fit exactly again for the topic of that particular weekend. So for example, if I'm a young person and we're preaching on marriage, I am listening and I'm taking notes because I want to be wise. I don't know what my future holds, but many, many young people believe and desire that marriage does, again, pertain to their future. At the same time, if I'm a married person and we're preaching on singleness, I'm very eager to learn and take notes that I may love better as I go forward. If I'm single and we're preaching on parenting, I understand I have a part to play in the family as it relates again to those in my life. A very important part to play that is God's design. If I'm in my elderly years, then I have the wisdom to see how the strength of a home is the strength again of society. And so I'm compelled to pray. I'm compelled to pray that God will use and bless and fill and move in such a series. You see, so maturity in Christ understands the healthier the home, the healthier the church. No matter where I find myself, I want every home to be healthy here, because then we are healthier as a whole. And we got to fight against this, because we live in this consumeristic, individualistic society where it's not exactly about me where I am, that I'm not listening. Well, that's ridiculous. That is selfish and immature. God's design for that is so much larger and so much greater and so much bigger. And he allows the individual to become part of the whole in the body of Christ called the family of God. So maturity understands, again, I want everyone where they are to know God's will and blessing, because in the end, we all are helped in the process. Again, maturity in Christ understands that theologically and practically, as the home gets healthier, we all win. We all win. So this is obviously a very important series. And we don't know exactly, again, where the Lord's going to take us. We have a plan in place, and we have, again, subjects that we're, Lord willing, going to go through. We don't know exactly what the Lord is going to do through this series. But we want to be as faithful as we can, and we want to pray that lives will be changed in the process. Amen? Amen. Amen. Yes, Lord, would you use it? That is such an important thing to do. I want you to look at Psalm 127, verse 1. We're going to spend a few minutes here. This is really the intro for the series, obviously. And then we're going to spend a couple of minutes on some other passages as well as it pertains to this idea, again, of the house and home as it is found in Scripture. Psalm 127, verse 1 says, "Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain." Unless the Lord builds the house. Unless the Lord builds the house. The Hebrew word for house appears 1,000 times in the Bible. It is used literally to describe temples, palaces, and homes. It is also used figuratively to describe households and families. Unless the Lord builds the house. Unless the Lord builds the house. This word also represents one sense of self-identity or security, one's place in this world. So it's right in one sense to say, unless the Lord builds the house, and you're thinking like my heart right here, like who I am, who I hope to be and where I hope to go. Lord, unless you build this house, that is very, very appropriate. So in this sense, every single one of us, again, represents a house. Every single one of us needs the Lord, listen, needs the Lord to build this house. We need the Lord to build our homes. The essence of verse one, if you want to boil it all down, the essence of verse one is we are 100% dependent upon the Lord. We are 100% dependent upon the Lord. It's, again, it's like the Old Testament version of John 15:5. Apart from Christ, we can do nothing. Unless, Lord, you build my house, I labor in vain. Lord, you must build my house. The Lord must build my house. If it hasn't come up already, This is the overarching point again of our sermon today. The Lord must build my house. Notice the title of the psalm and notice who the author is. Can you see the title of the psalm and notice the author? The author is Solomon. Maybe you knew that before you opened up Psalm 127. Maybe you didn't. It's important that you do. Unless the Lord builds the house. Solomon knew a thing or two about building. Solomon was commissioned to build the palace. His palace took 13 years again to build. Solomon's commission ultimately to build the temple. Solomon again knew a thing or two about building. And what is Solomon saying here? Solomon is saying, unless the Lord builds the temple, who cares? What good is a temple without the Lord? He's saying, what good is a home without the Lord? What's the point? Build all you want without the Lord, it's all vain, worthless, it's empty. It's interesting, whenever I'm in a text and studying for this all week and trying to work hard on this, and then I also have my own personal readings where I am, and it's amazing again how often it lines up or there's certain things that stand out. I'm going through Genesis and other parts that will come up again in just a few moments as well, but I was in Genesis 11 in the Tower of Babel. And there you are, and it just, humanity, this is what humanity does. Let us build a tower and make a name for ourselves. That's what humanity does. That's the sinfulness of the human heart. It's not about the Lord, anything to do with him. Let us build a great tower and stack brick upon brick and make a name for ourselves. And in the end, of course, that becomes absolutely worthless, nothing. And the Lord guarantees it'll end up as futility and worthless as well. Because unless the Lord builds the house, those who labor again labor in vain. I want you to notice the word unless. The word unless occurs twice in consecutive statements in verse 1. Unless the Lord builds. It's very Solomon-like to say something like that. It's very Ecclesiastes-like to say something like that. And Solomon, of course, wrote Ecclesiastes. Unless the Lord builds, all is in vain. And notice the word vain occurs three times here in the first few sentences. The word vain occurs three times in these two verses, saying to us, every single home desperately needs the Lord. Again, the word vain here in Psalm 127 verse 1 means it's futility or worthlessness apart from the Lord. Psalm 127 is a wisdom psalm. The wisdom in this psalm is this, if you boil it down again to a sentence. Without the Lord's blessing, all human toil is ultimately worthless. Without the Lord's blessing, all human toil is ultimately worthless. That's humbling for us, and yet it's true. Unless the Lord builds, those who labor, labor in vain. Now, this doesn't mean we don't labor. We do. It's not saying we don't labor. It's not saying the rest of verse 1 that we don't watch. The watchman needs to watch. But what it's saying is we labor in full dependence upon the Lord. I just mentioned to you my own personal reading. So I'm in Genesis. I just finished Ezra. And now I'm just into Nehemiah yesterday and today. It's amazing to me as Ezra, again, commissioned as a leader to rebuild the temple. And Nehemiah commissioned to rebuild the walls again surrounding Jerusalem. It's amazing to me that both, again, in Ezra and then in Nehemiah, literally today, this morning, it says about Nehemiah, and the good hand of the Lord was with him in his desire to rebuild. And Ezra, and the hand of the Lord was with them. You have two men very eager to labor, laboring, but God is with them. That's the key. Without the Lord, no point. Without the Lord, nothing. Why? Unless the Lord builds the house, those who labor, labor in vain. Notice, unless the Lord, look at the word Lord. In my translation, it's all caps. Unless the Lord, that is the ESV's way of indicating this is the name Yahweh. This is the eternally existing God of glory and the universe, the I am. Unless the I am builds, unless Yahweh builds, We will labor in vain. We need Yahweh to build our lives. We desperately need the Lord to be the one who is filling and guiding and strengthening and giving wisdom and power for this life. How can we possibly do it without him? And of course, Solomon, who wrote Psalm 127, he's a very powerful example and warning to us in this regard. When Solomon was leading the nation of Israel with the Lord, the nation of Israel and the reign of Solomon reached unparalleled heights in the history of Israel. Israel was a global superpower under Solomon with the Lord. But then Solomon got distracted. Solomon got greedy. Solomon got filled with lust. Solomon started to build without the Lord. And devastation set in and disaster struck. Because unless the Lord builds, those who labor will labor in vain. It was Adam in Genesis 2 who was entrusted with a garden to keep. A garden to keep with the Lord. Let me speak to the men here just for a second. Love to do that. Men, we have been entrusted with a garden to keep and a home to build with the Lord. Only in the Lord. You try to keep that garden on your own. You try to build that house on your own. It's not going to happen. You might accomplish things the world applauds. God will not be applauding. I think every man has to stand in the doorway of his house and has to understand, spiritually speaking, and to say out loud, unless the Lord builds this house, I will labor in vain. God, I need you to build this house. I need you to be the one and the one, the only one who can build this house. I'm telling you, so many of us are so busy building. We're so busy building, we've forgotten the Lord entirely. So many of us are so busy actively building whatever it is around us. All the distractions and all the things of the world, and some of them aren't even bad, but we're so busy with things around us, we've actually left God behind. That is a total failure. Because unless the Lord builds the house, those who labor, labor in vain. But I want us to all see very clearly here, okay? We are all in the construction business, every single one of us. We are all building our lives. We all have received from God a stewardship of building our lives. The question becomes, under the stewardship of the construction we've been entrusted with, who's the architect? Who's the contractor? What are we even building? What are we building towards? What is the purpose? What is the purpose of this construction? Incredibly important questions to be able to ask and answer. What are we building and why? Over the Christmas break, I read a biography on the Vanderbilt family, one of America's all-time wealthiest families. It's very interesting. They had an obscene amount of money and an insane amount of luxury houses and possessions. It's really, really interesting to see the rise and fall, the triumph and tragedy in so many ways, again, within a family that has so much. One of the stories within this was Cornelius Vanderbilt II. He was led to build a summer home. You can call it a cottage. I want to put a picture of the cottage on the screen for you right here. This is the cottage. Maybe some of you actually have been there. This is in Newport, Rhode Island. 62,000 square feet. 62,000 square feet. Summer cottage. Not bad. The footprint of the house covers an acre. Just think about that. The footprint covers an acre. As I said, built by Cornelius Vanderbilt II, it was started in 1893, I believe it finished in 1895. Cornelius II, he was able to enjoy it for 4 years. He died of a stroke at the age of 55, 1899. Only 4 years after it was built. The house, as one author says, stands to this day. It stands as a temple to excess. Stands as a temple to excess. Unless the Lord builds the house. I mean, in the end, right, you have these people who do these things and whatever, and whether it's this, you know, major example or our little examples in our lives, unless the Lord builds the house, those who labor, labor in vain. Cornelius Vanderbilt II, he's age 55, he dies of a stroke. Suddenly, he stands before God and he stands naked. Job said, naked I came into this world and naked I shall leave. We live in a time of full-out obsession with physical homes and possessions. It's very important for us to take stock of the time, the effort, the stress, the resources, and the ostentation that so often surrounds us. It's so interesting too, right? I wrote this section on Tuesday of this week. And then you wake up Wednesday and you see the fires raging through Los Angeles. And you're just like, you're looking, and how many people, they were themselves on Tuesday and then they wake up Wednesday. And in this particular case, the, you know, immense amount of wealth and others, but you're just like, it's such a powerful reminder. My heart breaks for all that's happening there. How devastating that would be for any of us on any level. But it's such a powerful reminder to say, at the end of the day, what are we living for? Because it's here when there's so many people in these situations, everything they live for was built up in this thing. And then the fire comes and it's gone. A lot of them don't have insurance. And then you're like, well, what the heck is happening now? All of a sudden, all of life is brought to ashes, which, by the way, the Bible tells us that it's all going to burn. And so for us then, it's the wisdom to say, what am I living for? Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. If it's not with the Lord, it's not anything. You can have 50, 60, 80, 90 years of all this opulence, but in the end, it's just you. See, this is where wisdom comes in. And for us to look around and say, what am I doing? Why am I living? What is the purpose of my life? And what am I actually trying to go for? We are 100% dependent upon the Lord. Do you remember the story of Mr. and Mrs. Thing? This needs to be read at least once a year. I think it's been way too long since we've read this. The story of Mr. and Mrs. Thing goes like this. Mr. and Mrs. Thing are a very pleasant and successful couple. At least that's the verdict of most people who tend to measure success with a thingometer. When the thingometer is put to work in the life of Mr. and Mrs. Thing, the result is startling. There he is sitting down on a very luxurious and expensive thing, almost hidden by a large number of other things. Things to sit on, things to sit at, things to cook on, things to eat from, all shiny and new. Things. Things to clean with, things to wash with, things to clean and things to wash, things to amuse, things to give pleasure, things to watch and things to play. Things for the long, hot summer. Things for the cold, in our case, long and winter. Things for the big thing in which they live. Things for the garden. Things for the lounge. Things for the kitchen. Things for the bedroom. And things on four wheels. And things on two wheels. And things to put on top of the things on four wheels. And things to pull behind the four wheels. And things to add to the interior of the thing on four wheels. Things. And there in the middle are Mr. and Mrs. Thing, smiling and pleased as pink with their things, thinking of more things to add to their things, secure in the castle, in their castle of things. What I just want you to know, their things can't last. They're going to pass. There's going to be an end to them. Maybe an error in judgment, maybe a temporary loss of concentration, or maybe you'll just pass them off to the secondhand thing dealer. Or maybe they'll wind up as a mass of mangled metal being towed off to the thing yard. And what about all the things in your house? Well, it's time for bed, put up the cat, and make sure you lock your door and make sure some thing taker doesn't come and take your things. And that's the way life goes, doesn't it? And someday when you die, they only put one thing in the box, you. Again, Job said, naked I came from my mother's womb, naked I shall return. Paul in 1 Timothy, he says, I brought nothing into this world, I will bring nothing from this world. What is this called? It's called wisdom. The Lord must build my house. Because if the Lord is not building my house, in the end, there's nothing I have to show. We transition now. Without the Lord, everything is in vain. Here's the question, though, that I want to ask as we move towards the completion of the message. What then does the house that the Lord builds look like? When the Lord builds the house, what do we know to be true? I have four things I've written down. When the Lord builds the house, here's how we know. When the Lord builds the house on the screen beside me or behind me, number one, when the Lord builds the house, the foundation is Jesus Christ, 100%. When the Lord builds the house, the foundation is Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 3:11, I'm going to do most of the work for you as we turn to these passages on the screen for you. At the end, I'm going to ask you to turn. You better not be lazy, okay? 1 Corinthians 3:11, for no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the foundation of life. Jesus Christ is the foundation of eternal life. So listen to this, ready? Every single home the Lord builds, every single one, the foundation is Jesus Christ. Only this foundation is eternal. That's exactly why. That's exactly why at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus again teaches in Matthew 7, verse 24. We all know it. The parable of the man who built on sand versus the man who built on rock. The man who builds on the rock, the storms will come, the house will stand. The rock is Jesus Christ. Only the foundation of Jesus Christ will withstand the storms of life. Only the foundation of Jesus Christ will withstand the storms of judgment. I'll say it again. Every single house the Lord builds, the foundation is Jesus Christ. And in the end, that's the only thing that matters. So question, is your foundation Jesus Christ? Is your foundation truly Jesus Christ? I'm not asking if you've heard of this foundation. I'm not asking if you could even describe this foundation. I'm asking, is he your foundation? Is he personally and relationally and actively and supernaturally your foundation of everlasting life? Because every single home or house the Lord builds, the foundation is 100% of the time Jesus Christ. If Jesus Christ is not our foundation, then everything we're doing will be in vain. You make the foundation Jesus Christ in your life for all of eternity by believing in him for the savior of your sins, by giving your life to him and believing in him by grace through faith. Jesus Christ, you are Lord and you are savior. And I give my life to you. I believe in you. I believe you're the Son of God. I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. I believe you rose from the dead, defeating again sin and death and Satan forever. You are the Lord. I love you. I give my life to you. You now are the one who is the foundation of my entire life. When someone does that sincerely by faith, then they are saved. They are saved. They will never die again. And Jesus Christ is their foundation. Listen, when the Lord builds the house, the foundation is Jesus Christ. Secondly, when the Lord builds the house, the frame is wisdom.
Hey, thanks for joining us today. We are so glad you're here. And without you, Live in the Light wouldn't exist. Our passion and mission here is to see radical transformation in God's people through the revelation of God's truth. We believe that through the faithful and passionate preaching of God's word, disciples will be made and the church will be strengthened. Do you want to be a part of that mission? If so, check out our website at liveinthelight.ca for ways to give or give us a call at 1-844-22-LIGHT. That's all for today. Hope you can join us again next time on Live in the Light. I want to be in the light as you are in the light.